I'm sorry I asked you to stop tapping my neck yesterday. I know you were just trying to show me love. I had a mad headache and I should have just spoken to you softly. I'm sorry for asking you not to put on an accent last night. Pretty much the same, and I didn't have the energy.
That is Oscar Pistorius, and he's reading out messages there that he sent to Reeva Steenkamp over the course of their relationship. That's happened because he's giving a second day of testimony to his trial for her murder. That's happening in Pretoria, South Africa. And he's continued with details of his relationship with Reeva Steenkamp. Yet to go into the details of what happened on the night that he shot her, however, which is, I suppose, where things really become the focal point of the trial. I'm joined now by Gershwell Brooks, who's a broadcaster and analyst with the Oscar Extra pop-up radio station in South Africa that's been live-streaming proceedings. Gershwell, thank you very much for joining us. Did these text messages reveal anything of particular importance about the relationship between the two?
Good day to you. To a large extent, that is the case, because I believe that the state led with evidence trying to outline the fact that there was a bit of acrimony in their relationship and a bit of strain. And I think that what the defense is trying to prove is that there was a loving relationship between the two of them and that the argument that they had was, in essence, normal.
Right. But do the texts actually tell us one way or another? I mean, these are just little snapshots of communication in a much more complex human interaction or complex human relationship.
I would agree with you on that. It would be very difficult to glean from any number of text messages what any relationship was like. And I think that the state even conceded at the beginning that they only took certain snapshots and that 90%, if not more, of the messages were of a loving relationship. And obviously, the defense is taking that and trying to capitalize on that by showing that there was actually a loving relationship between the two of them and that it was only occasional that they had arguments or disagreements and they were usually resolved.
What was his demeanor like as he was having to read out these text messages?
It was very difficult for Oscar. I've been watching the session throughout the morning, and I should say he's constantly crying, especially with messages which are very intimate, very deeply showcasing the love that was, presumably between the two of them.
Yeah, it's just impossible to imagine what it would be like to be in that situation where you're being forced to read these things out and people are drawing these conclusions and you have no real control over it. But of course, it's a murder trial and it's seriously important stuff. The focus, though, has to be surely on the moments when he pulled the trigger. And I know he's back on the stand today. Is that going to come up today or is that still a fair way off?
I do believe it's a fair way off. If you have to look at sort of the evidence that's being led at the moment, they're going through these messages. Yesterday was largely dominated by his history and who is Oscar Pistorius. I think to a large extent, we're probably looking at the number of days that Oscar is going to be on the stand, at least from the defense side. I don't think that we're going to necessarily see anything particularly indicative of what happened on that evening. And I mean, those text messages themselves, all the messages that were downloaded and that have been that they've gone through thus far do not indicate that there was anything particularly, don't showcase anything on that particular morning.
Right, yes, we haven't really got anywhere near that point yet. He did, though, mention something that would clearly be relevant, I think, and that is that he spent his whole life fearful of attack, fearful of burglaries, fearful of robberies. Mm-hmm. Now, that's obviously central to his defence.
No, indeed. The focus there would be trying to showcase that this was a case of mistaken identity in an attempt to preserve his and his life and that of Reeva Steenkamp. And then obviously that's what he's hinging his entire defense on. How successful he would be dependent on whether the judge accepted that was in fact a reasonable fear that he had. And I think that's what they're trying to showcase throughout the entire trial, especially from the defensive side.
Does it have to be reasonable, though? Doesn't it just merely need to be honest? If it's a fear that he genuinely had, it might explain what happened that night.
Yeah, I presume. When I use the term reasonable, I'm meaning it in the legalistic sense here, where there still needs to be some level of objectivity, whereby one would say that the reasonable person would also have had similar fears for whatever reason, maybe because we're living in a country that has a high level of crime, alternatively, because of his past, etc. All those things need to be looked into. But however, it needs to be something that's significant. It needs to be a fear that showcases that he thought that there was a reasonable possibility that his life was in danger
That's interesting. So even if he genuinely was fearing for his life, albeit unreasonably, maybe he just had a particular vulnerability or fragility about that. But even if he genuinely was fearing for his life and thought it was an intruder, but the court deems that he wasn't reasonable in thinking that there was an intruder, he could find this going against him.
To some extent, I mean, that takes us to the second element that the court has to examine at this stage, and that is whether him firing four shots into a closed toilet door was reasonable. I mean, that's now the next question that we have to ask ourselves, because even in, even though there is, you know, legally you have the right to defend your life by taking the life of another person, if there's a reasonable belief or possibility of your life being taken in the process, you should still exercise some level of reason and discretion. Surely, firing four shots blindly into a closed door is not, needs to be really well argued to show that it was reasonable.
Oh, yes, that argument is very much to come. It's going to be the crux of it, you get the feeling. Just finally, he did apologise to Reeva Steenkamp's family. I mean, I suppose in some senses words are cheap, but he did have to do that. How's that all been received in South Africa?
You know, I should say, looking at the social media just yesterday, I mean, a lot of people feel that it's contrived. I got a tweet this morning from someone that listens to my broadcast saying that they have the opinion that he's been coached by his defense team and that this is not anything particularly sincere. And I think that that's largely how people feel. I myself am quite, you know, split on how I feel about the apology, preceding his testimony.
It's interesting. Do you want to expand on that, or do you need to retain a journalistic distance?
I'd like to retain a journalistic distance, but I mean, the legal side in me comes out and says, "But hang on, isn't this to some extent an admission? Is that something that you're trying to do in an effort to pander to the judge?" And for me, that's why I'm just a bit concerned with him, obviously going out and making this apology. Before the whole process, before he was able to give actual testimony of what had happened on that evening.
Well, I imagine his lawyers must have okayed it, but anyway, we'll see whether or not it has any impact ultimately on the way that the court finds on this. Gershwell, thank you very much for lending us your insights. Gershwell Brooks, broadcaster and analyst with the Oscar Extra pop-up radio station in South Africa. It's been live streaming the proceedings.